What's up, Atlanta? Happy Tuesday with Turtle. And yes, we are here for the full four. That's right. And I need every single second of it to break down everything going on in the world of Atlanta sports and sports at large. We have so much going on. We got a World Series decided. We got college football to talk about. Boy, Georgia Tech and UGA appear to be on a collision course, baby. And if that happens, I cannot wait. Great wins for both of them. We got the NBA back tonight, y'all. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. That's right. That returns Round Ball Rock, an updated version. I'm excited. We get some good matchups, although no LeBron. And then we have the Falcons to talk about. So here's the thing. It's just funny how this stuff works out. So I'm planning out my shows, Orin, for the week, and I got the full show tonight, got a couple of shorty shows, got a Saturday show, so got like an eclectic schedule this week, and I'm trying to think about like, well, what do I think will be, you know, because any day anything can happen. Obviously, we got the Ray McLeod news, we'll get into that in just a second, so you got to always leave room to fit that stuff in, but just in terms of like my main talking points that I want to hit for the week, I'm starting to plan those out. And tomorrow, ironically enough, I planned a whole conversation surrounding QB1. Well, I made a change because, Orin, I was listening to Dukes of Bell today. And boy, oh boy, if y'all aren't fired up about that. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And I could certainly just move what I was going to talk about with y'all tonight to another day this week. Because, wow, there's a lot going on with that man with the strong left arm. And the potentially injured lower portion of his body that's not his foot, not his ankle. I don't know what it is. We'll all find out together. What's going on with him right now? And we'll get into that in just a second. But obviously, if you did miss it, the news of the day is the Falcons did part ways officially with embattled wide receiver Ray McLeod. I was listening to Dukes and Bell, obviously, on my walk over. I agree with them 100%. I mean, they summed it up perfectly. I don't get it. I don't know what happened. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you, but we will have Joe Patrick on in his weekly spot coming up in just a little bit. And that'll be the first thing I ask him. Maybe he was able to get some inside skinny on what's going on, but I don't know. I mean, when you have a squad that, I mean, I don't know if I would call it desperate need, but they're certainly in need of wide receiver help. And you have a guy that had 700 yards for you last year. Orin, one would think he'd be in the mix to get some targets, and he really hadn't done anything even before he got sat for a couple of weeks. So I don't know. Honestly, your guess is as good as mine. I don't want to sit here on the radio and just start, you know, blurting out ideas because that's not fair. I don't know. I think there's some pretty obvious correlations to things that stand out. You don't just cut a player or release a player that was A, productive for you last year, and B, plays a position in which you need help and possibly a lot of help if Casey Washington can't catch the ball. So to infer, you know, this is a broad enough statement, Orin, to say without worrying about, you know, misleading people. Something happened. I don't know what it was, but something happened as I throw my hands up in the air and shrug my shoulders. What that something is, I have no idea. And again, it's not my place or your place or anyone else's place unless you are an actual reporter like a Joe Patrick or a D. Orlando Ledbetter to ask those questions and try to infer and work your sources and get to the bottom of it. And maybe Joe did, maybe Joe didn't. I'll ask him and he'll let us know what he knows or what he doesn't know. But that's all we can do. It's just befuddling. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Ray McLeod from 1 year to the next didn't forget how to play football. He was a good player last year. For your third receiver on a team to have nearly 700 yards is pretty good. I mean, he's a player that showed you that, you know, he has what it takes to get it done at the highest level. He had a breakout season last year. For a guy of his level, you know, he's never going to be a number one on a team. So for him, that's a breakout season for him, for his role as a guy who's going to play returners, going to play special teams, is going to, you know, be a slot guy, be a guy that you try to get the ball to down the field at times. He had about as good of a year as he's going to have. So for him to just not be on the team anymore, again, as I shrug my shoulders in the Kia Studios, something happened. There was some disconnect between he and the Falcons that led them to part ways. From the actions on the sidelines, seemed like he was on good spirits. From everything we're hearing, it seems like he was in good to decent to fine spirits. But I don't know. I don't know anything more than that, unfortunately. And there's no way to tell if Raheem Morris, you know, wants to keep it in-house, which obviously you respect. You know, he doesn't want any more distractions than there needs to be for this team. So it's sort of a thing. It just is what it is. Again, we'll ask Joe Patrick when he comes on for his weekly spot, and we'll see what the deal is. But let's talk about quarterback one, shall we? Are you concerned? And I mean this on a couple of different fronts. Let's get this out of the way right away. Michael Penix Jr. started 8 games in the NFL, no, or 9. He started, 3 last year, 6 this year. Yeah, 9 games in the NFL. Please, when calling the show at 404-726-0929, please keep that as a point during the conversation. Let's not forget about that, shall we? So everything we say about Michael Penix Jr. right now is said within that context of is that he started 9 games. But here's where we're going to drill down. Is he right now, A, where you thought he'd be, and B, is his play concerning you at all? Because I think those are both fair questions. So A, let's talk about QB1 tonight. A, again, with the fact that he's only played 9 games as the backdrop of the conversation, is he where you thought he'd be right now through 6 games of the season and 3 last year? Do you think he'd be better? Do you think he's ahead of schedule? Do you think he's behind schedule? And then B, is that a concern? Should we be concerned right now that Michael Penix Jr. is not where he needs to be, if you believe that? And why am I asking that? If this was a normal season where a team gets a top 10 pick as a quarterback, like the New York Giants, for example, if the Atlanta Falcons were the New York Giants and this was Jackson Dart instead of Michael Penix Jr., I think the answer would be completely different. But because the Atlanta Falcons have such expectations on their shoulders for the GM to keep his job, for the coach to keep his job, for the coordinators to keep their jobs, and not to start this whole thing all over again, do you feel like Michael Penix Jr. is good enough right now to lead this team to the playoffs? Or are you seeing holes in his game that are concerning to you? I think it's a fair question that needs to be asked. I feel like there are certain areas and certain things that we're seeing over and over again on a week in, week out basis that just need improving. And maybe you don't even think it's his fault. Oren, there's a lot of people out there who, I'll put this kindly, maybe not the biggest Zach Robinson fans in the world, just to put it with a little bit of mild sauce on it, to say the least. So if you feel like Zach Robinson is not giving him the adequate play calling and coaching that he needs, that would be a concern. You would fall into the concerned category. It matters so much more for Michael Penix Jr. right now because of the team. Fair or unfair? And I would argue it's unfair. Because again, he started 9 games, and again, we're using that as the backdrop. We know he's going to get better. We know he's going to improve. We know all the talent's there. We've seen all that. He can make every throw. He's got a good head on his shoulders in terms of processing. But there's been some, we'll call them rookie mistakes, that are popping up. And in the losses, they've popped up a lot. Unfortunately, you scored 10 points against a really banged up 49ers defense. Carolina shut you out. I mean, that's really not good. Listen, we've gone through this chapter and verse about quarterbacks in the NFL that have gotten off the slow start. Some of the best to ever do it. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, John Elway. Those are three of the best quarterbacks to ever wear a helmet in the NFL. And they all started really slow. So for Michael Penix Jr. to even be where he's at right now, I think is honestly impressive. But if you pair where he is right now versus the expectations of the team, I think that's where you can have a little bit of concern. Because, again, the Atlanta Falcons are not in a position to grow with the pains of their quarterback right now. I still believe, even though it looked like Terry Fontenot had a really good draft, you can't go six seasons in the NFL without a playoff appearance. I'm sorry. You can't do it. You know, part of the seven-year drought was before he got here, but now it's been on him year after year after year. And he has not lived up to the billing, and he has not been able to, A, get a winning record, and B, make the playoffs. So where are you at with QB1 right now? Again, 9 starts. We know all the talent is there. But let's take a real look at where this thing is right now. You're 3-3 through 6 games. He's had a couple of really good games and a couple of really bad games. Are you concerned about Penix's ability to grow throughout the season to get where this team needs to be at the end, which is back in the playoffs? Take your calls when we get back, 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle, with you till 10. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Going to get to the busy phones here in just a second. Talking QB1 with you. And if we should have any concern right now, we'll get to that in just a second. Want to remind you, though, to join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, the conversation tonight is surrounding QB1. This team has a lot of expectations on its shoulders. Are you okay with the way he's playing right now? He's had a couple of good games, couple of clunkers, and it's been a mixed bag, much like the Falcons season overall. So where are you at with QB1 right now? You know, and that's not even bringing up the fact about his health, but, you know, that we can't control that. So we're just talking about his play and where you're at right now with that. 404-726-0929. Alex leads us off. Alex, you're in the game.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Just driving my son home from baseball practice. I'm listening to erectile dysfunction commercial, so that's always a fun discussion. here's the issue that I have, and Penix is exactly where he's supposed to be. The issue I have is that's not the narrative that we were sold. We made this decision last year. Kirk Cousins wasn't cutting it. We're going to take him out. We're going to put in Penix. We're going to be a much better team because of it. And it's not a knock on him where he's where he's supposed to be, but we're not a better team. So my problem is with the front office and the narrative. We weren't sold that we were going to be going through a whole nother year of rebuilding, and we got to wait till Penix is great. And like, that's not what we were sold. We went off and made all these moves in the offseason, and we thought the Penix was going to help us win now, and that's just not the case. We're 3-3. We were 4-2 last year at this time. We're not a better team. And again, I think he'll be good, but, like, none of us knew that this was going to be this waiting period of 2 years. We've got Kirk Cousins on the bench. He's figured all this rookie stuff out that Penix still has to figure out, and I thought it was Penix is going to learn from him for a couple years and, you know, accelerate his move to be a tier one quarterback out of the gate. And I don't know, maybe that's the best bet. Maybe he's just not quite ready yet and needs to do a little more learning.
No,
so I've got a problem with the narrative, not with Penix.
No, Alex, that's a great point. But unfortunately, the narrative is not up for dispute or up for debate. This team needs to make the playoffs, man. And you're right. That was what the mission statement and the missive is from the beginning of the year till now. They're just not living up to it yet. I said it on Sunday on the Falcons flyover, which you can catch every time the game is over right after the postgame show. I almost said every Sunday. But the Falcons got like 8 primetime games this year, so it's going to be on Mondays and Sundays and Thursdays and you name it. So I said this right after the show. I was like, they just don't feel like they're it right now. They don't feel ready. They don't feel like they're confident. It's the roller coaster effect, Alex, and it's too inconsistent. 404-726-0929. Patrick's up next. Patrick.
Turtle, what's up, brother?
What's up, Patrick?
Man, I was on a cruise ship last week, and on Monday night, I found a bar. I was in there by myself. A Falcon fan showed up, but I was surrounded by Bills fans. And all I kept hearing was, easy win, not going to be a problem. And I finally got tired of it, and I casually spoke up, and I said, have you guys even seen this team play? And they were like, no. I said, you don't know about 9-5. You don't know about Bijan Robinson, who his peers are saying. We're talking about Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley are calling him the best player in the game. Not only that, at that time, the Atlanta Falcons defense was number one in the NFL. And then they went out there and did what they did on Monday Night Football in front of all of the eyes in the entire nation, and it was incredible. And I thought, finally, here we are. It's about damn time. And then we do this crap on Sunday, man. We have a coaching issue in Atlanta. We have all of the talent in the world, and there's a reason Michael Penix is scared, because you're not setting him up for success. We got our asses kicked Sunday, man. The guy was running for his life. He's afraid to run the football because he doesn't want to get hurt. And he has no leadership in front of him helping him be a better quarterback. Leadership coaching is the absolute problem with this team. And until that gets fixed, we're going to keep failing. I love you, brother. Have a great night.
All right, Patrick. Appreciate the passion and the energy as always.
Can't tell him you love him back.
Can't say you're wrong. I heart you, Patrick.
But if you don't say that, he might get real upset.
Well, you know what? That means more good content for us. So you know what? I'll take it, because Patrick brings the heat, man. I'm not in love with Zach Robinson, y'all. I don't think anyone out there in the listening audience is right now. Whether he's in the booth or downstairs or next to Raheem or in Raheem's back pocket, I don't really think it matters right now. Michael Penix Jr., to Patrick's point, really needs help. And I heard Dukes and Bell say this earlier. Get him help. I'm not talking about players. I'm talking about in meetings. I'm talking about on the practice field. I'm talking about in film study. I'm talking about as a football player. Get him help. Help him. He's a young quarterback who's made 9 starts in the NFL, and you're putting the weight of a playoff season or bust on his shoulders. Help him. Yo is up next. What's up, yo?
What's happening, Turtle?
What
so
up, my
let
mate?
Me just be real plain and blunt with this. I know a guy who says that the idea of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You know that guy?
Yeah, I do. That guy would be one Orin James Romaine, as well as myself.
Okay, then awesome sauce. We can have this conversation, and I love the passion of the previous caller. So what I'm going to say is this. If you know that if someone does something 90% of the time, that's called a tendency. If they do it 29% of the time, that is called what they are going to do. So anytime that we motion a tight end, not named Kyle Pitts, across a formation, we are going to run the ball either to that direction or we're going to trap it off the opposite direction 10% of the time. That is a tendency. Anytime we run a wide receiver across the formation in motion, he is going to pass the ball. These are things that we are watching. We know it's going to happen, and the defense knows it's going to happen. It's almost ironic to me that we're sitting here right now, and we're looking at the two teams that were in the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship games, and we beat them both. We beat the Commanders. We beat the Bills, right? So it's not like we can't do it. The problem is that our offense is so predictable that you've had Dan Orlovsky, you've had random guys on the internet, you've had Kurt Warner, you had PFF literally do a 30-minute breakdown on how predictable our offense is based on our formation and our motions. So when we sit here and act as if Michael Penix is this guy who is a dink and duck quarterback when we know he's not. He's like the best deep ball thrower in the NFL who doesn't get to throw the ball deep. And bye, Ray, Mr. I can't catch a damn screen pass. So we are in a position where our offensive coordinator has to grow up. We understand that this is only his 23rd game being offensive play caller, okay? And you had to go up against Kyle Shanahan, who's been doing it for 20 years, and his daddy was Mike Shanahan. We understand that. But you are so predictable that all they had to do was look at your formations, and they knew which play was coming. And I have people who are UPS drivers, Mr. Dave Archer, who are breaking down the same film that you're looking at and saying, dude, it is as predictable as possible. So we have to change that. Mike is going to be great. This team is going to be great. We know that we can win against top-notch NFC, AFC championship quality teams. We know it because we just did it. We just happened to freaking fumble. We threw up in 49er land. So going forward, we have to diversify, bro. We have to have Zach go in there, put the wrinkles in the offense so that we can actually excel. We have the talent. All we need to do is be a little less predictable. Love you, Turtle. Talk to you later.
All right, yo. Appreciate you checking in as always, man. Listen, the predictability thing is an issue, and that affects who, as Yo just said eloquently there, Michael Penix Jr. So that's why we're asking the question today, right? Like, how concerned are you about where he's at right now? And part of that is definitely coaching, and that is Zach Robinson. And I think we're starting to draw some parallels and similarities here, don't you think? Dame is up next. Dame.
Hey, appreciate you taking my call, Turtle.
Yeah, man.
My biggest thing is we know life's greatest teacher is experience, right? So it's definitely a coaching issue because I've been watching Penix every game. It's not a talent thing. We know he's got the arm talent. We know all of this. But I never see him walk to the line, point out who the Mike linebacker is, point out where the pressure is coming from. All he does is line up in that college-style pistol, clap his hands, and run the play. And I don't understand from a coaching standpoint, even if you go back to 2017 when Kyle Shanahan left the Falcons, he left his playbook. Why do coaches feel like they got to come in and reinvent the wheel and try to get all the accolades, oh, I created this? I'm going to go with what works. Kyle Shanahan had a dynamic playbook, and the guy who came behind him completely changed it. If Zach Robinson came from that L.A. Rams tree, his offense looks nothing like theirs. And I'm like, you were there. You were getting all of this, all of the ingredients to cook this food, but you want to go out and boil hot dogs. I don't understand it. And I'm going to let you talk.
Yeah, Dame, I appreciate it. Well, you know what the difference is in between Zach Robinson in L.A. and Zach Robinson here in Atlanta, Orin? Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Oh, sorry, guys. I mean, listen, we love Drake. He's a number one. We love Mooney. But at the same time, listen, here's the thing. You can only work with what you have, right? At the same time, yes, I think Zach Robinson does deserve a lot of the blame here. But, you know, you can only work with what you have. A struggling Casey Washington, a banged up Darnell Mooney, and Drake London and Pitts. That's what you have right now. So, Dame, I totally understand what you're saying, but they can't run that offense right now that they ran in L.A. to full effect because they had Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. It's like, sorry. And they had a really good back there, too, in Kyren Williams. So, listen, I get it. And in theory, that should be, you know, transferable, as you're pointing out there, Dame. But you need the personnel. And right now, you know, Penix conversation aside, and this is why the Ray McLeod thing is all the more bizarre, you just don't have the personnel to do that right now. I think in theory they would love to do that. But they had two Hall of Fame level receivers in their prime going at the same time. So unfortunately it's just not that simple. All right, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to take more of your calls. We'll also talk with Joe Patrick coming up. So a really, really busy Falcons-heavy Tuesday show here on The Game. Let's find out what's going on with Ray Ray and the state of the offense and how hurt is Penix or isn't he. We'll pick Joe Patrick's brain and we'll take more of your calls. All that and more coming up next. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you on the game. Going to get right back to your calls in 10 minutes. So if you're on hold, stay there. If you didn't get a chance to chime in, really strong calls to start the show. Appreciate everybody checking in. Listen, I get it. This team is 3-3. Another roller coaster season. It's up and down. It's left. It's right. It's forwards. It's backwards. And it's consistently inconsistent. And unfortunately, that applies to the quarterback as well. So what's your level of concern? Is he where you thought he'd be? Listen, again, the backdrop to all this, only 9 games, so we're taking it with a grain of salt. But the problem is this team is not in a position to wait around for Michael Penix Jr. to develop at a certain pace. He needs to, let's go, vamonos, get there, because this team has playoffs or bust expectations. And to say that they don't would be foolhardy. And right now at 3-3, you probably need to win at least 7 more games. That means you need, what, a 7-4 clip? Do they have that in them with the way Penix is playing right now? I'm not really sure. We're going to get to Joe Patrick here in just a second. Just want to remind you to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game, and it's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, yours truly will guide you through the Falcons Flyover after every game, and it's been a blast doing it so far this season. All right, without any further ado, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out the Joe Patrick on Football podcast. All right, Joe, before we can even get to what happened on Sunday Night Football, a couple of off-the-field notes that we need to hit. Number one, to the best of your knowledge, what happened with Ray Ray McCloud?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of interesting because, like, my theory that, you know, this was connected to Achilles, and not that it necessarily produced some kind of explosive kind of confrontation between him, Ray Ray, and Raheem Morris or anyone on the coaching staff. I never, like, thought that maybe that occurred, but just that he was so disappointed by Achilles leaving, who the week after, in media, the week after Hilliard was fired, Ray Ray McCloud called him the best coach I've ever had, said that, you know, his firing was evidence of, like, no loyalty in the league. And so that to me signaled, okay, well, maybe he's, like, down and it's affecting his practice, you know, performances, and other players are playing better than him. And now that he's been straight up released, sent home first and now released, maybe it does seem like there was something more kind of acute happening there than even I considered. But I honestly don't know. All we know is that it was, we have to get more from Raheem Morris after this has happened when we speak to him tomorrow. Until now, he's basically kind of played it coy. But it certainly seems like there was some real, what's the word? Just like a friction that was not going to be able to be overcome with him. And it's tough now because you spent entire training camp, and obviously last year when he had his breakout year as a receiver, but you spent so much time with him, like, really ingrained as this wide receiver 3. And now you're trying to work, you know, Casey Washington, David Sills, like any number of other players into that position on top of, you know, maybe you go out and have to trade for somebody because it's such a loss at this time. So we'll see.
Michael Penix Jr.'s injury. What do we know? Well, let me put it this way. What do we know about it and what don't we know about it?
Yeah, we know that it's not, like, super serious, but Raheem Morris called him day-to-day, and it's a bone bruise. A bone bruise is an interesting one because it can be caused by, you know, a number of different things. I don't want to kind of speculate too much on what it was. There was a report today that came out, and I can't remember. I know Mike Bell elaborated on a reporting saying that they do expect him to play this weekend, which is good. It looked to me like he got rolled up on and maybe like he tweaked something toward the end of that game. And you could see he was grimacing. He was in pain. Raheem Morris had called Kirk Cousins over to stand next to him, chin strap buckled, ready to go in the game on a moment's notice. Ultimately, Penix does stay in that game, but none of the throws looked good while he was in there. So it was clearly affecting him. And we'll see if he's able to practice this week or how much he's able to practice. Again, if Mike Bell reports that he's expected to play, then I would expect him to participate in practice to some extent. But, you know, every practice snap that he doesn't take is a big loss for a young quarterback who's, again, trying to get ready and trying to bounce back after a rough offensive performance, not just for himself, but for the whole offense this week. I think it's important that this team bounces back strongly against a weakened Miami Dolphins team.
Is this team just inconsistent, or was this loss matchup dependent?
No, I mean, I think they're inconsistent. And I think that, you know, when you look specifically at where the downturns have come for this team, you look at the road games, you know, and they just have not performed on the road offensively like they've been, like they have at home. And I think that there's, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily down to, like, you know, crowd noise or anything like that. Like, obviously they were playing in Carolina when they got smoked and didn't do anything offensively. And then it's not like a hostile environment that's affecting them. I don't know what it is with regards to playing on the road, but we're going to ask about that this week. But also, you know, it's just like when you look at just, you know, the some of the play calling, you know, there's big kind of question marks around there. And I think, Chris, the other thing is, I think you're always going to feel like an inconsistent football team when you don't have a kicker. And a kicker that you believe in, I should say. Obviously, this team has Parker Romo, but just evidenced by the fact that Raheem Morris was not willing to call on him to kick a 53-yarder to potentially tie that game. Like, you definitely would if you trusted your kicker. Then I think that is always going to throw volatility into the game. And then also, you know, their red zone offense, or even, you know, even inside the 30s, let's say, is just, it's inconsistent, and that's why we're seeing this team not able to score points and capitalize when they're able to pick up yards between the 20s. And so when that happens, you're just going to be, you know, the results are going to be inconsistent. And it's extremely worrying that this team only scored 10 points and really, honestly, didn't, like, I know the yardage kind of was there somewhat by the end of this game, but, you know, you pick up 57 yards on two passes toward the end of the first half that puts you in position to score, although they didn't do that. There were some, I just saw inflated numbers that really kind of, like, underscore or that overrepresented how effective this offense was against a really beleaguered San Francisco 49ers defense in that game. And credit to Robert Saleh, he kind of, like, threw up a bunch of designer blitzes and stuff that fooled the Falcons, and they beat them up front as well, and that's not good. But ultimately, the Falcons team has to be better and has to be more effective. And to your point, be more consistent week to week.
Talking all things Dirty Birds with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football for his takes on the Falcons. We've been praising Elijah Wilkinson. He stepped in. He's done an admirable job. But unfortunately, on Sunday night, he got absolutely boat raced by Bryce Huff for the entire game, even when they sent over help. Is there now long-term concern there?
I think you have to kind of, I don't know if, like, reevaluate, and I don't know if, you know, they're not going to make any sort of drastic change, I don't think, this week, assuming Storm Norton is not able to play, which, by the way, Raheem Morris did not have any kind of news to report on the Storm Norton and Troy Anderson front. I know that's a question I'm getting a lot in my personal life from friends being like, where are these guys? He said they're both kind of close, but they're not quite ready to return. So we do expect Elijah Wilkinson. I would expect him to be back out there. I think that obviously after a game like that, if you're Zach Robinson, you've got to have more of a focus on helping him with chips and stuff like that. And I would certainly expect that. But, you know, Chris, to your point about him just getting beaten, you know, I think that was the worry, especially with, you know, that left-handed quarterback. And there was at least one case where I believe Michael Penix fumbled the football, where he just gets truly blindsided and Elijah Wilkinson is not even able to get a hand on Bryce Huff, and really rough, because those hits, not only are they costly within the game in terms of you lose yardage on a sack, you potentially, like, lose a fumble, but also those are the kinds of hits that get your quarterback hurt, you know, and that's not something that the Falcons can you know, really afford or really want to happen with a young quarterback, obviously. And so that's going to be a big, you know, point of emphasis for them this week. But I would just say also, Chris, along that offensive front, when I was looking at some of the tape, I just feel like there was some poor communication this week in terms of guys not properly kind of handing off rushers and twisters to the other guy, and they're not kind of being that connection between those offensive linemen. You can see when it's working well, it kind of results in, like, every lineman kind of has one guy that they're blocking. And in this one, you would see times where you got two linemen blocking one guy and then somebody kind of running through from the second level, like a blitzing linebacker or something. And that offensive line's got to get that sorted out. I'll say Chris Lindstrom is always kind of saying that. And I think that we saw why he says that all the time, that communication is so important, and they need to get that straightened out this week.
Divine Diablo, obviously a huge loss. No timetable on his return, correct?
That is correct. Randy Moore has told him week to week. And if you've got a fracture, you know, I know that there's been other guys who have had, you know, broken arms like this. And, you know, it can be like 4 weeks. I think it's as soon as 4 weeks. Kind of interesting that the team has not put him on injured reserve yet, as far as I can tell. So maybe they're holding out hope. And if they don't, you know, there's not necessarily a need to put him on injured reserve right now. If they feel like it's questionable, they can always kind of retroactively do that if they need to. But I would say he's going to be out at least a few weeks. That would be my guess. And, you know, Raheem Morris said he's going to be week to week, and then we hope to get him back before, or we look forward to getting him back before the end of the regular season. So that kind of phrasing makes it seem like more long term than 4 weeks. But honestly, we just don't know much at this point. Maybe we get more update tomorrow.
Joe, before I let you go, Atlanta United sacks Ronnie Dial after just one season as the manager. What did you make of that decision, and how quickly can they rebound?
Yeah, it had to happen. I mean, you can't bring a coach back who has the worst record in club history. So, you know, it had to happen. I think that that's good news for Atlanta United and for fans to look forward to. There's at least one intriguing coach on the market, Tata Martino, who has experience with this club. Obviously, it's just, you know, purely speculation at this point as to whether they would actually be able to get his signature on the dotted line, because it's a very different project at this point versus where, you know, what he was tasked with charging when, you know, the club was first starting and he initially came. But that would certainly provide a jolt. But honestly, any coach would provide more of a jolt than it would have if Ronnie Dial comes back. Not all his fault, I would say. You know, the players underperformed as well. They're the ones who are out there who ultimately have to perform. But a lot of work for Atlanta United to do, obviously, this offseason to get themselves back to where they believe they should be. And that was underscored by Arthur Blank's statement to supporters last week.
Joe, appreciate it. As always, we'll chat next week.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is our own insider there, Joe Patrick. When we get back, it's back to the phones, baby. 404-726-0929. Are you concerned about where Michael Penix Jr. is right now? We know it's only 9 games, but that's not the issue. The issue is this team needs to make the playoffs, and they can't endure bumps and bruises and drastic change in play on a week-in, week-out basis. What is your level of concern right now? We'll get back to the phones at 404-726-0929. We'll also get into some Falcons true and false. A busy hour number two coming your way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.